January 8th, 2018. Let's start with Parashat Vayera. Parashat Vayera has in it the first seven makot. And I don't want to specifically focus on those. I want to focus on what happens prior to them in Parashat Vayera. So let's catch up to date with last week's parasha, segue into this week's parasha. So the end of last week's parasha, Moshe is commanded at the snare to encounter Paro. And he's told what he can go armed with in terms of his otot. And he's told to speak to Am Yisrael as well. And he in fact does so. So if you look at source number one, Shemot Perek Dalet, Vayerech Moshe ve'Aharon, right? He asks for assistance, or he gets assistance. Vayasu et kol zeknei bnei Yisrael, and they gather the elders of Am Yisrael. Vaydaber Aharon et kol ha'davarim asher diber Adonai el Moshe. Vayas ha'otot le'ine ha'am. He performs these signs. Vayamen ha'am vayishme'u kifakad Adonai et bnei Yisrael v'chirai et onyam vayikidu vayishtahavu. So at the end of last week's parasha, first encounter with Am Yisrael is successful. Smashing success, a big check. They believe in Moshe, in Aharon, I guess in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the plan, in the destiny that they're going to be redeemed. That was first encounter. Second encounter with Paro, source 2, Pereke, Pasuk Aleph, Ve'ahar, Ba'u Moshe Ve'aharon, Ve'yomeru El Paro, Ko Amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, Shalach Ta'mi, Ve'yahogu Li Bamidbar. Paro is not at all convinced. We know the story. They respond, and Paro is still not convinced. Vayomer alehem pasuk dalet melech Mitzrayim. Lama Moshe ve'Aaron tafriu et ha'amim ma'asav lechu lesivlotechem. Go back to your servitude. Go back to your bondage, to your slavery, and to your work. In short, unsuccessful mission to Paro. So that was Parashat Shemot. And then we read at the end of Parashat Shemot how Moshe and Aharon get encountered by those taskmasters or Am Yisrael people, and they're very angry at them because there was increased labor. That's what happened. What are we expecting now? Without knowing Torah beforehand, what are we expecting now? We're expecting some sort of redemption beginning. We're expecting, if you're going to do this vis-a-vis Makot, start with the Makot. I mean, to go back and talk more, what's it going to accomplish? Why would you send Moshe to speak to the people again, to speak to Paro again? For what reason? You did it. To the people, successful. Was it waning in success? It was waning in success. To Paro, unsuccessful. Are you going to send them with a new mission? Are you going to send them with new information? And we kind of always, I think, accept Parashat Bo as, well, we just went for it again. Let's take a stab at it again. So at the beginning of Parashat Bo, the last pasuk in last week's parasha is in source 3, Vayomer Adonai el Moshe, Ata tirei asher e'ese lefaro ki biyad hazaka yishalechem, u biyad hazaka yechar yishem me'arso. So we're already expecting makot. Already expecting plagues. Something. And then Moshe and Aharon are sent forward.
Isn't that your answer?
What's my answer?
That he's setting up the stage for something spectacular.
Set the stage for something spectacular called Makot. Do you need to speak to Am Yisrael first?
Yeah, because the way God works, if you learn Torah...
I appreciate you enlightening us.
Usually, that makes it ambiguous as to what's really going to happen.
Right.
It's not very straightforward all the time.
Right.
So the Yeshua comes in different forms and at its time.
Right.
Not the way you would expect it as a story.
I accept. So what's going to happen now?
I don't know.
Okay, so he's going to speak. I do know. Right. I mean, I think you do too. So he's going to speak to the people. Right. And what's he going to say to the people? Beginning of Parashat Bo. Right? I mean, Va'era. What are we going to do now? Oh, really? So what's the message going to be? So you're telling me something unexpected. Right. What's he going to say? Basically the same thing he said last week. And then he goes back to Paro. We'll deal with it in a second. But first to the people. Why are you going back to the people? The people believed in you, and this time, are they going to believe in you? They're not going to believe in you. What are we doing? Vayidaber Elohim el Moshe, pasuk bet, and perek vav, vayomer elav ani Adonai. First things first, he repeats his identity. Now, when he initially encountered Moshe, so he just said to him, ani Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Elohe Yaakov. This time, it's with a name. I know that you want to explain that one to us, but I'm just looking at the Peshat level. I mean, what's with the revealing of his name? So you say, okay, it's the next step. Next step in what? Why is it time for revealing the name? And why wasn't it time initially? And what's the significance of revealing his name to him now? I really want Peshat on this, because I take this as a more intimate...
Sure, it's just like Yaakov and Israel. It's a different level of happening or relationship.
Okay, with Moshe?
Both, with the Am and Moshe.
Okay, why is that? Why are we doing that? But why are we doing revelation? That? We still have 10 Makot ahead of us. And like, what's the purpose of this whole thing? And we already did this.
Where it's coming from.
Hang on. Va'era el Avraham el Yitzhak v'el Yaakov. That's why we call it, right? Parashat Va'era. So forth. Shmi Adonai lo nodati lahem. And so forth. And then he gets into what we call the Arba Lishonot Shel Geula. Right? Lachen emor pasuk vav libnei Yisrael ani Adonai. Tell them. My name. והוסיתי אתכם תחת סבלות מצרים, והסלתי אתכם מעבודתם, וגאלתי אתכם מזרוע נטויה ושפטים גדולים. Anything that he didn't say in the past? Well, we didn't have these four lishonot, but we did know this was what was going to happen, right? This, in terms of content, nothing really changed. ולקחתי אתכם לי לעם, והייתי לכם לאלוהים. וידעתם כי אני אדוני אלוהיכם המוציא אתכם מתחת סבלות מצרים, and you'll know that it's me who took you out from the bondage, from the difficulties of Mitzrayim. והבאתי אתכם אל הארץ אשר נשאתי את ידי לתת אותה לאברהם, יצחק, יעקב, and so forth. So just again, the most basic question is, what's the purpose of doing this? What's more is, they're not going to accept it, Jack. So you want to reveal more? You're going to reveal more, but set them up for failure. They're not able to accept it. Why they're not able to accept it now, but they were able to accept it in last week's parasha?
Because
the workload got harder. That's Rashbam, that's Peshat, no question. There's different approaches, but we go with Peshat, and this workload's harder. It's more difficult to hear it now. Last week, you gave us, whenever the last time you came, you gave us nice inspiration. This time, it certainly doesn't sound that much better because we know what happened when you promised it last time. Yeah?
To some extent, I'm thinking that Hashem wants the nation to start thinking again. When they cried out, they didn't talk to Hashem, they moaned. Hashem heard their moans and their cries. So now they're getting an opportunity to build an identity and start having a relationship.
This guy's got all the right words. He's got all the right words. I got it. So then
Moshe, he's trying to build Moshe up as a leader, giving him experience going to the people, going to Pharaoh, go back and forth, the give and take, for him to become stronger in the leader, in the role as a leader of Israel, eventually. As his conduit with the people, to set it up as the future, because he eventually is going to lead them through the desert until they become a people.
So we're building up Moshe.
And the nation.
Do you want to know the irony in all this? I'm going to go in the complete... I'm going to go that we're building up God. But hang on. Okay. But I think it's interesting. I think there's something to that as well. And I think, I made this point in my written Dvar Torah this past week. In terms of Moshe's continuous statements, I think certainly is building up the people and Moshe. I think there's something else at play. And I'm going to hopefully prove it to you. Okay, so I accept. I think there's much truth in what you're saying as well. I mean, really. So that's the first encounter in this week's parasha. It's a new encounter. I mean, some people make the mistake of saying this is just a repetition of what happened last week's parasha. It's not. How do we know it's not a repetition? Well, look at the reaction of Am Yisrael. Last week, they accepted it. This week, they're not accepting it. It's clearly a new message or a new going, a new talking, right? That we can accept. Now, the next most odd and curious passage, next pesukim, pasuk yod, vaydaber Adonai Moshe lemor, bo daber el paro melech Mitzrayim, vishalach ad bnei Yisrael me'arso. Go speak to Paro, and he'll send forth Am Yisrael. Vaydaber Moshe lefnei Adonai lemor, hem bnei Yisrael lo shameu elai, ve'ech yishma'ini faro, va'ani aral sefatayim. So several issues here, right? First of all, been here, done that, we know you don't talk well, we got it, we sent you Aharon. Are you just repeating the same thing again? Secondly, what's with this kal vachomer? What's with this logic? He says, well, Am Yisrael can't listen to me. How's Paro going
to
listen to me?
He has everything to lose.
They're suffering. We already know why they're not doing well. And Paro, maybe he will listen. Okay, and then there's something strange. Okay, so you have those issues. And then I put it in shaded, you know, Pasuk Yod Gimel through Chavchet, just because there's something really odd. Vaydaber al Nai Moshe ve'el Aharon v'savim l'bnei Yisrael v'alparom melech Pesraim l'otziot bnei Yisrael me'eretz Pesraim. Okay, I mean, that God commanded Moshe and Aharon to get Am Yisrael out of Egypt. We got it. Tell us again. And then, Ele Rashi Betavutam. Bnei Reuven, Bechor Yisrael, Hanoch Ufalu, V'chesron V'charmi, Ele Mashpachot Reuven. Ubnei Shimon, Yemuel, V'yamin, V'ohad, V'yachin, V'tzohar, V'shaul, Ben Hakna'anit, Ele Mashpachot Shimon. V'ele Shemot Bnei Levi, L'toledotam, Gereshon, Ukat, Umrari. Ushnei Hayele, V'yab. What's going on? Genealogy? We're in the middle of a story. I mean, it's like Torah going ADHD mode. I mean, what really, what's going on? We can't, what happened to our focus? Now, it's leading us toward something. What's it leading us toward? The birth of Moshe and Aaron. Now? Tell it to me last week's parasha. Tell it to me before Va'era, before pasuk, the first pasuk in this week's parasha. You know, Ele Toledot ve'ele Toledot Yitzchak ben Avraham. You start the parasha with that one. In the middle, you're just throwing in genealogy. And again, we make our way down to Moshe and Aharon, which, by the way, we almost have like a rebirth of Moshe. We know about the birth of Moshe. We don't know about his parents' names and everything like that. Okay, you're filling that in. Very nice. Who pasuk chavav after the genealogy? Now it's a partial genealogy, no less. We went Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and we stopped in Levi. Why did we stop in Levi? Because we wanted to get to Moshe and Aaron. That's clear. But again, what the heck is this doing here?
Maybe it's the first people that actually have a direct connection to Hashem since Yaakov and Ur.
Put it at the beginning. You could make any case you want for the genealogy being here. I'll accept it. Why is it here? Not for its existence. Why is it here? It's in the middle of nowhere. Who Aharon Moshe Asher Amar Adonai Lahem Osiot Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim Al Sivotam? These are the ones. Hem Hamidaberim El Paro Melech Mitzrayim. And I can't read that pasuk without smiling. That's my grandfather. He should live and be well. Grandfather always told me, and tells my siblings and everyone, he always goes like this, Hem Hamidaberim, that's what it says in Torah. He makes that motion with his hands, you know. Yani, money is what's Midaberim. So as a kid, I had no idea what he was talking about. I just knew, Hem Hamidaberim means money. And I found in the Torah, I said, you know, it's got nothing to do with money. But anyway, he would always say, it's what it says in Torah, Hem Hamidaberim, right? Anyway, Lehosiat Bnei Yisrael Mimisraim, they are the ones. Hu Moshe ve'aharon v'hi b'yom diber Adonai el Moshe be'eres Mitzrayim. Okay, so we had this interlude, not brief, a pretty long interlude describing their genealogy. Back to it, back and now, without any further delay, v'aydaber Adonai el Moshe le'mor ani Adonai daber el paro melech Mitzrayim et kol asher ani dover elecha v'yom Moshe lefni Adonai hen ani ara sefatayim ve'ech yishma ilai paro. Sound familiar? It sounds familiar because it was identical to Pasuk Yod and Yod Aleph and Yod Bet, which we had, right? And I was like, I built you a whole chart over here because what you have is three Pesukim at the top, two Pesukim at the bottom, which are identical, basically, give or take. And you have a whole interlude in the middle, which the interlude doesn't make sense in the middle of this, doesn't make sense. Really, what's going on? Now, in terms of why there's a repetition at the end of it, of Hinaniyar al-Sifatayim in that dialogue, Rashi, keeping true to his Peshat interpretation of text, goes along the line of all the other Pashtanim on this matter, and we have to give him credit for that. And he says, listen, you want to know why the Pesukim are repeating what happened? Now, this is not a new conversation, Pasuk Chavtet and Lamed. It's because there was an interlude. He says, it's like I tell you a story. I tell you a story, and I say, well, the two of them were making their way down to Par'o after God gave them this conversation. Pause. Let me tell you about their genealogy. Okay, where was I? Oh, yes, I was telling you about how they were making their way down and they had this conversation. That's Rashi's interpretation of this. That's Rashi. That's the way to read this Pesukim. Fantastic. Great. Got it. But you don't like that interpretation? That's Peshat. This is a literal... But it's Peshat. There's no other way to read the Pesukim. The only glaring issue, which he leaves out, which, you know, he doesn't need to explain everything to us, is why is there this interlude? What's this interlude doing here? It's clearly a literary device here utilized by the Torah to somehow break something up, to somehow distinguish, to somehow give us a new beginning, to somehow distinguish and tell us that what you're about to read is a little bit different than what you've read earlier. What the storyline, the plot, is about to take a spin. Does the storyline take a spin? Does it change? I mean, what happens after this? After this, they go and they talk to Paro. What changed? Nothing changed. I mean, they do enter a new detail. What's the new detail? Makot. They do enter a new detail. God's might. We got it. A little nice, new, clever, thing. But that's, you needed an interlude for that? So let's just read those pesukim before we try to make some sense of everything that's bothering us here. So Perek Zayin begins. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, re'en et aticha Elohim lefar'o ve'aharon achicha yehye nevi'echa. Interesting pasuk, not for our purposes right now, but what's the statement? It says, I've made you Elohim, he says to Moshe, and Aharon will be your Navi. Oh, what does it mean to be an Elohim? So Rashi, and I don't think this is Peshat, but I love it because it's so much in line with what we said last week. He says Elohim refers to a judge. Right? The Torah very often refers to the judges as Elohim. It says, you are the one who's in charge of judging Paro, of acting as his judge, which I love. That's the identity of Moshe. That's what he is, right? That's what we said last week. Missed it last week. But that's what last week's lesson. The lesson of Moshe is, he says to the Rasha, Lamatakere'echa. He's the one who's judging more than anything. Okay, the most simple interpretation is that of Unkelus, and Unkelus' interpretation means, I've made you greater, I've made you stronger than Paro. And Aharon being your Navi means he's going to be your medium, right? The same way God speaks to the Navi, who in turn relays it to other people. That's what Aharon is for you in this circumstance. Okay, but regardless,
what's that?
He's the God guy, that's it. There you go. Atad daber et kol asher, I don't remember saying it. Et kol asher atzaveka, ve'aharon achicha yedaber el paro, ve'shilachat b'nei Yisrael me'arso, v'ani akshet lev paro. So that's a new interesting detail. You're going to have a kishui lev of paro. V'irbeti et ototai, v'et mofetai b'eres Mitzrayim, v'lo yishma alechem paro, v'natati et yadim b'Mitzrayim, v'hoseti et sivotai, et ami b'nei Yisrael me'arso, v'shvatim gedolim. Says God, this is what I want you to tell him. I'm going to take my people out with great wonders, with great tricks and stuff. Continue, Pasuk He, Vehoseti et Bnei Yisrael mitocham. Last words in the Pasuk. Pasuk Vav, Vayas Moshe ve'Aaron, kasher tzivah Adonai otam, ken asu. That concludes the episodes that we want to analyze for today. I think leaving us with a few glaring difficulties. Number one, what's with the new encounters in this week's parasha? We can make some decent arguments. When it comes down to it, I don't know if any of them are going to fully suffice in terms of all the details that we get, which seem to be directly correlated to what was said last week. In fact, the things that Moshe says to Bnei Israel, like I said, some people make the mistake of saying, in my mind, the mistake of saying, it's just a repetition of a previous encounter at the Snin. It's just speaking itself out over here. It's so similar to what we read about in the past. And then why send them back to Paro when Paro didn't listen to them last time? Do you have something new you're sending them with? And then what's with this interlude in the middle here? Why give us an interlude in the middle? It's great that that's repetition before and after. But what's the purpose of this whole thing? So, here's my suggestion. My suggestion, it goes with a careful reading of who God is attributing this Exodus to.
I was thinking that.
Yeah?
Because in the beginning it says, attempt to see you, and then it says, I'm going to bring it.
There you go. So, that's it. So, yeah, that's exactly it. So, let's go, back to sources 1 and 2. Sources 1 and 2 don't ascribe a master of this plan. At most, we have that God tells Moshe and Aharon, go down to Paro and make sure that it's known, or make sure that he sends them forth. Who's bringing them out? Well, I mean, the Pesukim don't really describe that. I mean, we all, in our collective memory, decided that he's saying that God's going to take him out. I mean, let's be honest here. We need God's assistance in this. When it comes down to it, though, what did they actually say? Well, we'll have to go to last week's parasha a little bit more to clarify that, but it doesn't appear to, and for good reason. We're not talking about Makot there. We don't attribute this hosa'ah, this taking out, to God. any more than we do to Moshe and Aharon. In fact, if you look at our interlude, right, look in the shaded area. So let's see who's attributed to the... Let's see who's tasked with taking Am Yisrael out. Pasuk Yod Gimel. Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe ve'el Aharon. Vayisavem el b'nei Yisrael ve'el Paro melech Mitzrayim. Lehosi et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Who's tasked with taking the people out? Moshe and Aharon. In fact, Pasuk Chavav again. Who Aharon Moshe she'emar Adonai lahem. Hosi et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim al avosivotam. It's Moshe and Aharon who are taking them out. Pasuk Chavzayin. Who's tasked with it? Hem ha'midaberim el Paro melech Mitzrayim. Lehosi et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. In Pasuk Yod and Yod Aleph as well. Yod Aleph bodaber el Paro melech Mitzrayim visha. Okay, that one's not going to... But the point is, what's going on over here, of the course of these Pesukim, is Moshe and Aharon are being tasked with taking them out of Mitzrayim. How's it going to take place? I don't think they know. I think they do know because God did tell them that it's going to be Bishvatim Gedolim at the Sneh, but they're not being told that now. What they're being told now is go to Paro and say, we are getting out of here, and you need to send us forth. We're going La'avod et Elokim al Har HaZeh, but we are going to be the ones who lead these people out. That is the story of the first encounters in Parashat Shemot. Parashat Va'era comes along. The first statement of God in this week's Parashat, Vayidaber Elohim el Moshe Vayomer Elav, Ani Adonai. The first statement is, start paying attention to me.
But isn't that because Moshe was doubting himself and Hashem was coming back at him?
I have a different interpretation to why he's doing that. I don't know.
He's basically saying, you have all these doubts, but I'm God, you shouldn't... Just follow my lead.
I mean, he did say that to him in last week's parasha, and he's not going to listen to him anymore over here. I mean, unless you're saying he's trying.
I think it's God telling Moshe.
But keep in mind, what did he tell him? What did he tell him in last week's parasha? Again, I think it's if you think it through, the opposite's taking place. In last week's parasha, he tells him, "Go down and tell them that pakod pakad dietchem, and the time has come for you to leave." In this week's parasha, what's the first thing he gives him? Arba Lishonot Shel Geula. Who is the protagonist in the Arba Lishonot Shel Geula? Who's the main character? God.
Yeah, but he's hardening Paro's heart.
That's the point! But who's doing it?
Moshe,
but who's doing it? Who the hardening is? God's action. Last week's parasha is Moshe doing all this. None of that hardening
Moshe
business.
Is an actor in his
in this week's parasha. Yeah, but that's the point. The point is the political side of matters, the Moshe strength, was asserted in last week's parasha. Whether he wanted to or not, he went ahead and he did it, and he stood up, and people looked to him, and Paro looks to him, whether they're listening and believing him or not, the person or the being who stands at the center of this exodus is Moshe. This week's parasha, V'ositi etchem eretz Mitzrayim, V'itzalti etchem me'avodatam, V'da'atem, ki ani Adonai Elohechem, you're going to know, I am God, Hamosi etchem eretz Mitzrayim, I'm the one who's taking you out. Okay, so the first statement in this week's part, we're going to have to figure out why this is taking place. Why is there this shift and this change? But what the first encounter with Am Yisrael is markedly different than last week's. This week's parasha, Parashat Va'era, when they go forth to Am Yisrael, there's a new mission. The new mission is talk about God's role in, God's essential, fundamental role in getting them out. Joey, you want to say
that? Is that last week taking a more backseat role because it's more vague, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the actual name. I think that'll support me certainly, and it's future tensed, right? Point taken. I think that's interesting. What's that? So why the shift? Oh, well, let me just prove the shift first before
you
I tell you why.
Go
no, I'm not doing that. Not gonna go that far. But okay. You can maybe. So that will explain the repetition here of Va'era. Why are you going back to Am Yisrael? I mean, you had success, somewhat success last week, a little bit of success. Why are you going back to them? And you're not gonna have any success this time, because there's a duality here. We set forth, before we even go forward, just for a minute, to just talk about the importance of this. I mean, we are dealing with a religious, the building of a religious nation, right? So it's a nation which needs to have self-stability, which needs a leader who's strong, which has to have a governmental structure in which they can self-govern and deal with themselves. And at the same time, you want to have a dependency upon God. That's a very hard line to pull and to be able to at all points. That's the challenge of our lives. I say this all the time, right? The challenge of our lives. How much do we put in? How much are we dependent on God and so forth? But that's what you want to have in a nation as well. So you need to necessarily, if you're going to build a healthy nation, start with empowering their leadership, not the God. The leadership. Start with empowering Moshe. Now, and again, the question is why this is, but this is, I think, what's taking place. Now work, well, toward balancing that and focusing also on the God role in these matters. Okay, but what about this interlude? So I have this interlude here. Well, pay attention to what happens before and after the interlude. Let's just pay attention to the statement in the psukim before and after. Vaydaber pasuk yod, vaydaber Adonai Moshe lemor, bo daber al paro melech Mitzrayim vishalach b'nei Yisrael me'arso. Vaydaber Moshe lifnei Adonai lemor, hem b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai ve'ech nishmayin paro v'ani al asafatayim. We got those. Now, afterwards, vaydaber Adonai Moshe lemor, Ani Adonai. Right after the interlude, when we're repeating what took place before the interlude, we added in a conspicuous detail. What's that detail? Starts with the name. Which means to say that this interlude, I think, is highlighting this shift. Now, we talked about it already in context of discussion with Am Yisrael. The bigger and more significant transition over here is the way that you encounter Paro. Because when you encounter Paro, this is where you're now ushering in Makot. That's a whole new thing. The Makot are the mechanism, are the creation, the manifestation of certain respect of God. So this interlude here, this genealogy in the middle, is in order to bring forth that aspect of going forth in this dialogue with Paro, with Mitzrayim, instead of focusing on Moshe's role, instead of focusing on Aharon's role, we're now going to be focused on the Ani Adonai. Yes?
Isn't it strange then that the interlude itself is focusing on Moshe, or at least the whole point is to get to the family of Moshe?
I think that the interlude is doing exactly, it's summing up, to a certain extent, what we've done until now. And that's why he concludes, "Hu Moshe ve'Aharon, whom God said to get them out of Mitzrayim." Done with it. It's kind of like closing that off. We're done with that. That's how I'm reading. And the interlude has significance in and of itself as well, where he says, "They're the ones who were tasked by God to take them out." Now, something new. "Vayomer Elav, Ani Adonai." And now, what's the mission? Well, we go forward in the Pesukim. What's the mission in the Pesukim? Go and speak to Paro. What are you going to say to Paro? Firstly, I'm going to be makshet libo. Well, that's not Moshe's doing. That's God's doing. Not only that, and here's where, this is what caught me and tipped me off to this whole thing. Here, listen to Pasuk Dalet, and then we'll contrast it to it. Ve'lo yishma alechem Paro. Paro won't listen. Ve'natati et yadi b'Mitzrayim. Ve'hoseti et sivotai et ami b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim b'shvatim gedolim. Right, the words are, "I will take out my nation, b'tzivotai, tzivotai, and legions, or whatever." Yeah. Those words, identical words. Well, setia tzivotai et ami. Well, look back at pasuk chavav. Hu Aharon Moshe asher amar onai lahem hosiu et bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim al tzivotam. It's identical. Initially, it was taxed to Moshe and Aharon. This time, whose job is it? Who's doing it? It's God. So in short, what I'm suggesting here is Va'era propels us forward in the story of the creation of Am Yisrael, in the story of Yisiat Mitzrayim. We want to necessarily empower Moshe. That was the past. This week's parasha brings us forward to the next step. The next step is about God's role in this, his fundamental role in this. By the way, what do we do with that? Maybe the way you explain that is, now that we're transitioning into your role, God, well, I already spoke to Am Yisrael about this, right? That was the beginning of this week's parasha. They wouldn't listen to me, and you are their God. Well, now I'm going to go talk to Paro. He's going to listen to me. You're not even his God. That's the kal vachomer in that respect, because now we're doing something new in terms of invoking your role in this. Bnei Yisrael didn't accept it, whom you have that connection to. Certainly, Paro won't listen to it either.
I have a question.
Please.
Do you think it was always it was always the intention that it was going to be God's role, or did Moshe mess up and now we're shifting, like, because, you know, he said, let's say,
gotcha,
I have no power or blah, blah, blah.
So, initially,
initially,
I believed that it was, well, Moshe couldn't pull this off. And so as such, God was getting involved in some way, fashion. Then I was like, wait a second, let me just check. And this brings us to our next step. Let me just check the initial encounter with God. Initial encounter with God is at the snare. Did God attribute any of his own actions to the way that they're going to get out? So look at source 5. And the answer will be clear. This was always the plan. This was always the plan. Like Jack said, God lets it evolve in almost a natural fashion. In other words, initially, they're not going to listen. And then, necessarily, you're going to introduce my role. That's exactly what he says to him. Look at the sneh, perek gimal of Shemot, right? So God says to him, look at pasuk tet, ve'ata hine sa'akat b'nei Yisrael ba'i elai v'cham ra'iti et ha'lachatz Shem Yisrael lochatzim otam ve'ata, and now, Moshe, listen to what I want you to do. Lecha go ve'eshlachacha il paro ve'hose et ami b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. First things first, Moshe, you're doing it. What's Moshe's response? Me? Chiyosi et b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, pasuk yod alef? I'm going to take them out. And God continues. Okay, go and gather the people, and they're going to listen to you. But, pasuk yotet, v'ani yada'ati, I know, ki lo yiten etchem melech Mitzrayim lahaloch v'lo biyad chazaka. He's not going to allow you to go. Pasuk chaf, v'shalachti et yadi. Then, I'm going to send my hand. V'iketi et Mitzrayim b'chol nifleotai, asher e'aseh b'kirbo, v'acharechen yishalach etchem. So it's not only Moshe's failure, because I don't know if it's Moshe's failure at all. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but God tells him in the initial encounter is, we're going to do this segue business. We're going to start with you, and we're going to start with you talking to Paro and talking about how you're taking them out. Me? And then God says to him, listen, yes, you, but ultimately speaking, it's going to come to me playing a role as well. And that's what takes place. That's this transition in Parashat Vayera. So,
go ahead. Isn't that the opposite of what we're learning up to now, that it's usually God starting it off and man finishing it? Adam HaRishon, God creates everything. He lets Adam finish off the names. Lech Lecha, Berit Ben Abetarim, walk in front of me. I took care of the beginning and then you do it on your own. Why are we going the opposite way here and propping up man and then God coming in?
I think potentially the answer is because I don't know. I think every
case. See that theme.
I do see what you're saying, but those cases are personal relationship stuff, and I think that's, as a matter of fact, what happens in the to a certain extent. It's setting forth a world, and you know that sort of business.
Starting it off, and then you be a partner and finish it.
In creation. Over here, we're forming a nation. Forming a nation, a real thing, not just an entity, not just a concept, a real nation of people who need to walk to the beat of the same drum. I think we need to start this off with a strong leader. I think we're just appealing to human tendency over here and appealing to the way that building a nation is going to work. Yeah.
Okay. But
You don't
I
need
to. I also think that it could be like a message about get love, because Yetziah Mitzrayim is a Yetziah. Like, they have to leave themselves in order for God to take them.
So it needs to start with the people.
So it needs to start with the people, because God can't force them to accept him. So if the people aren't involved in it, then how are they?
So in terms of their own belief, I mean, Jack will say, but let God pull it off and they'll follow suit.
And people finishing, that's once God has established his presence as the ruler, right? Because God created the world, he was present as the ruler, so man can finish it. God encounters Abraham as the ruler, and Abraham can finish it. But here they're in Mitzrayim, so they have to have some role, the same way that we say today that Geulah will come if we play.
If we start it. So her argument, the argument here is a Geulah argument.
God takes them out and they have to form it.
The argument is a Geulah, needs to start with the people. I mean,
it's actually predetermined. God said, I'm going to take you out at this time and so and so. It has nothing to do with man.
I understand, but at the same time, the way you're going to want it to play out is through man's involvement. And the Torah calls a lot of attention to that, right? I mean, we know that. We know that the Torah brings a lot. I mean, and that's what I stress every year, right? Daberu b'nei Yisrael v'yisa'u, matisa'ak elai, why are you praying to me? Daberu b'nei Yisrael v'yisa'u. And then he says, v'atahare mit maticha, v'atahadicha l'shamayim. But the point is that in all of these sorts of matters, we're empowering man first, either for a Geulah perspective, a national perspective. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's inconsistent. I think each case needs to be, and each circumstance needs to be analyzed separately. When you have this sort of backdrop, well, now, we've talked about this concept in many other contexts. What do I mean by this concept? We've talked about this interplay, this delicate interplay between God and Moshe, in their involvement and their leadership and their steering of the nation, and all the difficulties that it wrought upon Am Yisrael in the future. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you recall, and I'll take you through two of them, we've seen it in like five contexts. If you recall, I don't know, 2 years ago or so, we analyzed what happened right after Kriyat Yam Suf. Right after Kriyat Yam Suf, there's a crisis, like the entire Midbar. With the Slav, but before the Slav, you know, the man, right? So let's take a look at that here. It's Shemot Perek Tet Zayin. So what was that all about? See, and again, and I stress it, and I really, this is just review, but just to piece everything together to show you this started at the very onset of the nation and needed to be something that we're working toward and working through, because this is what builds a healthy nation, right? So we come out of the Yam Suf and we come to this place called Elim, and we leave Elim and we come to Midbar Sin on the 15th day of Chodesh Hasheni, Perek Tet Zayin of Shemot. Vayilonu kol adad ben Yisrael, Moshe ve'al Aharon b'midbar. The Am Yisrael starts to complain too, significantly, Moshe and Aharon. Vayomiru aleim b'nei Yisrael, mi yiten mutenu b'yadonai b'eretz Mitzrayim. We wish we died from God in Mitzrayim, because we're no longer being led by God. B'shiftenu asir ha-basar ba'ochlenu lechem la'sova. We like the food there. Ki hosetem otanu el ha-midbar hazeh. Because you guys, Moshe and Aaron, took us out. Now, they have truth in that. Moshe and Aaron did come and say, we're going to take you out initially. But they're missing half of the story. And in turn, Moshe and Aaron turned to them, if you recall, after God says, I'm going to bring them this man. Vayomer pasuk vav, Moshe ve'aharon el kol b'nei Yisrael, erev, wait until nighttime, vida'atem, and you'll know, ki Adonai hosi etchem eretz Mitzrayim. Not that God's in charge and giving you food. You want to know what you'll know? That God took you out of Mitzrayim. It means this type of issue, this interplay, this delicate interplay, continued to plague us throughout the Midbar. I've gone so far as to argue that a lot of our pitfalls were as a result of, and again, it sounds simple, but it's not simple. It's a fundamental issue. We want to look to our own force, our own power, to look to our leadership as running things. The same time, we want to understand that God's behind it. That's not simple, especially for a nation that's coming out of servitude for 210 years, but for us as well. In fact, in addition to many of the other things we've explained in this context, we've dealt with the ultimate failure of Moshe. The ultimate failure of Moshe at Chet Me Merivah, Parashat Chukat, comes when he's told, and we're going to use Rashi for this in order to really bring it forth. This is a special for you, Joey. Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe lemor, kach hatamateh b'midbar perek chaf, kach hatamateh, take your staff. Come on. Come on, according to Rashi, according to the Chachamim, the whole sin is because of that mateh. The first thing you told him is, kach ata mateh? Hazit. Why are you telling him to take the mateh? Why did you tell him to take the mateh? He's supposed to be talking to the rock. V'hakel et ha'idah ata ve'aron achicha v'dibartem el ha'selah le'enehem v'natan mema v'hoseta lahem mayim min ha'selah v'ishkita et ha'idah v'et be'iram. Break mateh, speak to the stone and bring forth water. Moshe goes. Pasuk yod v'yakil Moshe v'aron. They seem to be following everything. V'yomer lahem. He says to the people, Shim'una ha'morim. Listen. Bad people. Hamin hasela hazen osin lachem mayim. The question is, what sort of exclamation is supposed to be at the end there? exclamation point, question mark, probably question mark. Regardless, what's the question? What's the statement? Are we going to bring forth water from this rock? Or we are going to bring forth water from it? Or do you really need us to bring forth water? Something, regardless of how it's taking place, regardless of how it's being stated, it has something to do with our own powers, either incredulously or defiantly. It's about our own powers. And then they pick up the mate. Now, and this is what this is the issue here. Mate, in my mind, in the eyes of many, signifies man's own strength. We use a mate, hosech shifto, sone beno, right? You know, that's the famous statement of Mishle. You're supposed to hit your kids. I'm not working with that, but I'm saying that's... it's okay. That's what it says in Mishle. I'm not working with that, but I am explaining that a stick signifies your own power. A stick is the way that you gather your flock. A stick is the way that you signify your own ability to be in charge. Says God to Moshe and Aaron, take your mate. This is my reading of the episode according to Rashi. Take your mate. Go to that rock. Speak to it while the mate is in your hand. Show that it's not coming from your own might, but rather from the fact that you're just speaking. Rather show my own might in this circumstance, God's own might in this circumstance. They go and hit it, which confuses the whole circumstance. Now, the question is, really, one small thing they're not going to get? They lost it because of that? And God says to them, you ruined the opportunity. But from one small thing, I mean, this is the greatest leader ever, his greatest, just because of that, you know. And the answer quite simply is, this was paradigmatic. This was a circumstance which explained the unfortunate, maybe impossible, but ultimate failure of Moshe and Aharon. Their job was to bring the nation out of Mitzrayim and to grow them over the course of this Midbar, to explain to them, to work with them, and let them come to a good balance in terms of our own role, our leadership's role, and God's role in this. They failed at that. Now, again, it may have been impossible to do, and they may have needed a replacement. We've discussed that as well. When it comes down to it, that's what happened over here. In fact, that midrash that Rashi cites, you know, which sounds silly, I think has a lot of chokhmah to it. The midrash that Rashi cites is that it says to them, they say, "Hamin hasela hazeh nosi lachem mayim." And hazeh, the midrash picks up on, what do you mean, this one? It says that they were told to speak to a specific rock. And that rock, I don't know, grew feet and started to walk around, and they couldn't find it, according to the Midrash. And so they turn to the people and they say, well, what are we going to do? And so the people say, what difference does it make? Hit whichever rock, talk to whichever rock you want. And their response is, I mean, I say, no lachemayim. We can't do that. We need to do it specifically to the rock that God commanded us in. So the schism, the misunderstanding of the people and Moshe, the Midrash is trying to get across, is the people say, you guys are in charge. What difference does it make? The response of Moshe and Aaron is, no, we can't just figure this out. But they end up hitting it. And they still end up blowing it in that respect. So, to summarize, that's just, you know, later along the way, but it begins all in Mitzrayim. So to summarize, Parashat Vayera brings us forth in terms of this creation of Am Yisrael. It brings us forward, in the construction of Yesiat Mitzrayim. Henceforth, Yesiat Mitzrayim has been about Hosaat Moshe ve'Aharon. They have been empowered, and they will be empowered. I mean, the way that Yam Suf is opened is Harem et Matecha, pick up your staff. The way that all these makot are fulfilled is through human involvement. We want human involvement. We need human involvement. We need to empower the people in order for this political system and nation to go forward. But at the same time, we need to couple it with God's involvement. That's Parashat Vayera. That's this interlude over here. It's highlighting that transition, first to the people who don't accept it, then to Paro, who also won't accept it, ultimately with the Makot, which is the greatest manifestation of, this is not Moshe and Aharon's doing, This is God's doing. We will couple it with statements from Moshe and Aaron, with actions from Moshe and Aaron. But when it comes down to it, Parashat Va'era is the perfect couple. It's the perfect second step to Parashat Shemot. Because Parashat Shemot started this whole business of getting them out, this dialogue, these conversations with Paro, by talking about the involvement of Moshe and Aaron, the important involvement. Parashat Va'era segues it into God's involvement. It's a duality, it's a coupling, which again plagued Am Yisrael throughout, ultimately leading, in my mind, regardless of how you read that last episode, but I think that's what it was all about, Chet Me Meriva, ultimately leading to an unfortunate failure of a matter, on a matter, which we struggle with until today, our own involvement, our leadership's involvement, vis-a-vis God's.